Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the 37th Psalm. Somehow we got to Exodus. I guess I put it in wrong. That's okay. I will read it to you. It's the 37th Psalm. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil desires. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For the wicked will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our strength and our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen. My mother was a list maker. And she had a special list for me. Maybe your mother had a special list for you as well. It was a do's and don'ts list. Anybody ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? And if you remember from the days of those do's and don'ts lists, if you did what was expected of you, you got a reward. Maybe it was a well done. Maybe it was a hug. Maybe it was a special treat. But if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you got punished. I did. Sometimes it was just a frown, or maybe a something taken away. But sometimes she would march me into the bathroom, bend me over the commode, and apply the Board of Education to my seat of higher learning. And I learned real quick that there were consequences. There were consequences if you did what you were told to do, and there were consequences if you did what you were told not to do. Life's like that. I just read you some words from a Psalm of David. By the time David wrote these words, He was an old man. And what a life David lived. How powerful. He went from being a shepherd in the fields to a king in the palace. And it seemed like that happened in America a few years ago. Someone went from Hollywood to the White House. Pretty good transition. And along the way, some interesting things happened in the life of David. As a teenager, he killed a giant and saved a nation. As a king, he was a powerful leader and a powerful king in that he helped to destroy his enemies around him. But he was a man. And he committed some pretty big sin. He committed adultery and murder. But through it all, at one point, God declared, David is a man after my own heart. And so now he's an old man, and he's reflecting back, and he writes a psalm. Wrote a lot of psalms, some of them when he was really young. Most people think perhaps the greatest psalm ever written, greatest thing David ever wrote, was the 23rd Psalm. But now in his old age, he's writing a psalm, and he's reflecting back on his life and on his experience. And guess what he does? He makes a list. He gives us some do's and don'ts. And he says that if you do what God says, you'll prosper, and if you don't, then there will be some consequences. And so right up front, before he says anything else, his first words deal with one of three very negative human emotions that he mentions in the Psalms. Right up front, he says, don't be afraid. He says, don't fear. Now, that's a very common human emotion, isn't it? I think we all get afraid sometimes. Maybe we're kind of like Charlie Brown. Anybody ever read Peanuts? I love Peanuts. I think Charles Schulz is one of the greatest theologians who ever lived. Most of his daily comics used to have three frames, right? So in the first frame, Charlie Brown says, I worry a lot. In the second frame, he says, I worry a lot about worrying so much. And then in the third frame, he says, even my anxieties have anxieties. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. And somebody says, I can't help it. I'm only human, you know. And we all are. But isn't that why Jesus came? To die for our humanness? Not only so that we could go to heaven one day, but so that we could have life abundant here on earth. And then the second thing, the second emotion he mentions, he says, don't be selfish. You find this in verse 1. By the way, he says, don't fear in verse 1, verse 7, and verse 8, three times. Also in verse 1, he says, don't be selfish. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Don't seek your own way. There's a very tragic story in the Bible that involves selfishness and David. One day, his beloved son, Absalom, decided he wanted to be king. And so he began to gather around him those that would join him in usurping the throne. Pretty soon, the whole nation of Israel was divided between those who followed Absalom and those who followed David. It was not a good situation at all. And then he says, that's in verse 1, and then in verse 8 he says, don't get angry. I have a hard time with this one. Too often I tend to wear my feelings on my sleeves. So easy to get angry. I don't know if you're like me, you get angry at other people and you get angry at things, and then kind of like Charlie Brown, you get angry at yourself because you let yourself get angry again. You know what I'm talking about? David says, don't do these things. But then he moves forward and he gives us a whole long list of things that he tells us to do. The first thing he tells us to do is to seek God. We find this in verse 3, 4, 5, 7, and 9. Five times. He says, get to know God. God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the beginning and the end. He's the one that created all things. I don't think it would be a shock to any of you for me to tell you that the Great Smoky Mountains are my favorite spot, is my favorite spot on this earth. If you want to see God in creation, go to the Smokies. How could you not see Him in the beauty and in the vastness and in the wonder of that place? He's the creator of all that is. And that God, that creator of all that is, has a sense of humor. Did you know that? Look in the mirror sometime. Kind of makes me want to laugh. But He's the creator. But then He's also the redeemer. From the beginning, humankind didn't do very well with the don'ts list, did we? And actually, on God's first do's and don'ts list, He gave them a whole lot of things they could do. And only one thing He told them not to do. He put them in the midst of this very beautiful garden. He said, you can do anything you want to. You can eat of any tree you want to. There's just one tree. One. Out of all of them. Leave it alone. But we couldn't. And we didn't. And so we suffered the consequences. And so He, instead of condemning us, provided the answer. He sent Jesus. Jesus came and died on the cross so that he could give us eternal life. That God, that creator, that redeemer is our sustainer. He takes care of us. He's our provider. He meets our needs. He's our protector. He takes care of us. That God is full of grace. He freely offers himself. He's loving, he's kind, he's patient, he's forgiving. David says, seek him. Get to know him. And then he says, flee evil. Run away from it. Verses 1, 3, 8, 9, and 10. Again, five times. He says, flee evil. He's just recognizing the fact that evil is all around us. And evil is also within us. But then he kind of carries it a step further because he says, resist. In a sense, he says, resist the devil. You've got an enemy. You've got somebody going to try to destroy you. Don't let him. Verse 8, turn away from your wrath. Turn away from your anger. And then the next thing he says in verse 3 and in verse 5, he says, trust me. Trust me. Have faith in me. Look to me. And as you find me, you'll find your answers. Back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I was privileged to do a lot of youth work. And I did youth work literally almost all across the United States. Steve was a part of a youth group that I had the privilege of being a part of. Did we ever do a trust walk when you were in the youth group? Okay. I used to do a lot of trust walks. You know what a trust walk is? A trust walk is where you take somebody and you ask them to trust somebody else to be your eyes and your ears and to protect you and to take you forward, and you kind of approach it sometimes with fear and trembling. You mean I'm actually going to have to let somebody else watch for me? I had my heart broken in the mountains last week. One of the ladies that we met several years ago, who is one of the cooks at the hotel where we stay, came to tell me that her 16-year-old grandson, who has already lost one eye from a detached retina, who has just gotten his driver's license, has had the other retina detached, and they say we can attach it one more time. And if it detaches again, you'll be blind. Just gotten his driver's license. Can you imagine being in that position? And having to trust somebody else's eyes for the rest of his life. I saw something else, though, at Dollywood. I saw a young woman who was blind with a cane walking by the side of her husband, just as if she saw everything that was going on. Because he had so been her eyes. And so we used to do a trust walk. And that meant you had to put your trust in somebody else. And you know what? There were some of the kids thought it was funny to try to make you run into something. They really did. And there were others that took it oh so seriously. And then if you were being led, I saw some that were very hesitant, and I saw others that were just wide open. That's kind of like it is with life. The devil says, trust me. And I guarantee you, if you do, he'll lead you in the wrong place. God says, trust me. And I guarantee you, if you do, he'll lead you in the right place. And then he says in verse 5, if you trust God, commit to him. Put your faith in him. Let him handle it. And if you run into a problem, do it all over again. Commit to him. Let him handle it. Again, that's kind of hard. That's where the rub comes in. Kind of like the guy that fell off the cliff hanging on to a rope. And he falls and he falls and he falls, and finally the rope catches him. He's hanging there. He looks up and he hollers, help. Voice comes back, let go of the rope. Help! Let go of the rope. Help! Let go of the rope. He lets go of the rope and falls 6 inches to the ground. And then he says, be still. Be still. Oh, how hard it is to be still. Especially if you have restless body parts. It's so hard to be still. Verse 7. Also in verse 7 it says, in your stillness, wait patiently for him. Trust him, it says. Commit to him, it says. Wait patiently for him, it says. Other translations where the NIV says to be still, other translations like the King James Version says to rest. To rest in him. Sometimes we have a hard time sleeping, don't we? And when you do have a hard time sleeping, when you wake up, you don't feel like you've slept. You kind of struggle through. And other times when you rest, I mean you really rest, you jump right up out of bed and you're ready to go and you're excited and you're happy. Because you see, God built into physical life the need for restoration, and it takes place during rest. And the same thing is true in the spiritual sense. He wants to bring us to a place of rest. And then in verse 9, he says, David says, to have hope in him. What a great word hope is. What a great idea hope is. Because if you have hope, you can go forward. When you lose hope, you struggle. And God says, hope in me. Don't just believe that I have the answers. Believe that I am the answers. One thing I meant to do this week, and I didn't. So I'm going to give you an assignment. I had meant to Google and find out how many times in Scripture God says, I am. Have you ever thought about that? Over and over and over and over, God says, I am. In the New Testament, over and over and over, Jesus says, I am. Let's have hope in the I am. And he says, if you do all of that, and it's a process, because you trust and you commit, and then you find that you failed, or you weren't as successful as you wanted to be, and so you do it again. You pick up and you begin to trust. You begin to commit. And sometimes Michelle gets mad at me when I tell Michelle stories. She's not here. You can tell her afterward I told another Michelle story. She was about 10 years old, and she had had a bicycle for several years, and she had never learned how to ride it. She'd get on the bicycle, she'd fall, she'd scrape her knee, she'd cry, she'd kick the bicycle and leave it right where it was. Later on, she would try to ride the bicycle, she'd fall, she'd scrape her elbow, she'd kick the bicycle and leave it right where it was. The church that I was pastoring, and this was would have been in 79, so she would have been 9 years old, decided to have a bike-a-thon. We were going to ride 10 miles to raise money for something. I don't remember what it was. And Michelle wanted to ride in that bike-a-thon. She wanted to raise some money. So she got her bike out, and she got on it, and she fell, and she scraped her elbow. And she got up, and she got back on it, and she scraped her knee. And she got up, and she got back on it, and she kept doing that. She rode, 2 weeks later, the whole 10 miles. Sometimes we need do-overs. And God grants them. And so, as I said, it brings us now to the positive side of all of this. David says, praise him. Be thankful. Lift up his name. Give him glory. Honor him. He is indeed the author and finisher of our faith. He is indeed the God who loves us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son. He indeed is the God who has saved us by grace and has called us to be his people. Verse 4. And then in verse 11, he promises that the ultimate thing will be that we will inherit the land. Anybody want to go to heaven? Yeah. Don and I were talking about this in the vestibule this morning. Anybody want to enjoy heaven on earth before you go? I do. He says we can. He says we can enjoy life now. We can dwell in the land now. We can enjoy peace and prosperity now. We can be filled with joy now. What a great God we have. And then he closes it down with the final thing in this psalm, first 11 verses, on his to-do list. He says, do good. Do what's right. Do what you ought to do. Seek me, trust me, believe in me, follow me. Do what you know to do. We talk about a lot doing God's will. Sometimes it's hard to know what God's will is. And I think that one of the reasons that he tells us to seek him and we'll find his will rather than just seeking his will. To seek him not for the answers, but because he is the answer. We're here this morning because in the mid-18th century, back in the 1700s, a man by the name of John Wesley had a vision from God. He didn't set out to start any denominations. He just set out to lead people closer to God. And he was having a hard time doing that in the church, the Anglican church. And so he started preaching outdoors. And people started responding and lives were being changed. And he developed a way to disciple them and to help them to grow so that they in turn could win somebody else and disciple them. And that's what it means to make disciples. And that's the mandate of our annual conference, that we're to make disciples. And so today, Methodism had its roots with him. And there are a lot of denominations that seek to follow the Wesleyan Arminian theology that he purported. But I want you to hear something that John Wesley wrote. He says, "Do all the good you can in all the ways you can, to all of the souls you can, in every place you can, at all of the times you can, with all of the zeal you can, as long as ever you can." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm going to ask Pat to come and just play quietly at the piano. And I'm going to open the altar. And I'm going to invite those who would like to come forward and spend some time here in prayer. Maybe you're more comfortable praying where you are. But for the next little while, I just invite us to seek him.